I should know the title of this, but I don't. Soil tests, soil and tissue test phosphorus requirements of creeping bentgrass golf putting greens. Presenting is William Kreuzer.
Thank you, Dr. Soldat. Good morning, everybody. I'm here to present the final chapter of my master's thesis at the University of Wisconsin-Madison with Dr. Soldat, looking at soil Malic 3 soil test phosphorus requirements of golf putting greens, calcareous golf putting greens. On an attempt by many state and local legislatures to reduce non-point phosphorus solution pollution, many legislatures have ban the application of phosphorus to turf grass systems unless its soil test indicates that there's sufficient need to apply phosphorus to that system to sustain turf grass health. And for to have any soil test to have any kind of utility, it needs to be calibrated. And so what goes into calibration is to determine a critical soil test value in which you're looking at some kind of plant response, be it yield, as would be normally used in traditional agriculture, or turf grass visual quality, which we measure in turf grass most commonly. And the critical point generally represents a soil test level which the available soil phosphorus supply in that soil satisfies the plant demand for phosphorus. Generally, when these values are greater than this critical value, you see no further increase in plant response. Another thing is you need to golf course superintendents need to constantly look at and soil test their putting greens because phosphorus levels can change for many reasons. Principally, in a calcareous situation, mobilization can be rapid due to the high pH of those soils. Runoff and leaching, which we've determined through last decade of research to be a fairly minimal aspect of a mature putting green, but there is some phosphorus loss for that reason. And additionally, and sometimes forgotten in the turf industry, is that clipping removal can remove a substantial amount of nutrients from a system. So one aspect of this research was also determine if plant growth regulators could potentially mitigate some of that phosphorus loss. Some previous phosphorus calibration studies for putting greens or in turf grass in general in the last 10 years include research by Destin Yard, in which they looked at the Morgan, the Bray 1, and the Malic 1 soil tests with different soil test calibration statistical analyses. Johnson and Culp did the Olson, and Hamel and Heckman did the Malic 1, the Malic 3 soil test extractions during establishment only and on silt-loam soils. However, in the last 10 years, the Malic 3 soil test has become the most commonly used soil test for golf course putting greens, mainly because it's fairly insensitive to soil pH, and using the ICP analysis, it can be used to analyze many different nutrients. However, there's no Malic 3 calibrations available for this soil test, and going between the different soil tests can be detrimental because there's not clear factors you can apply to go between, say, a Bray 1 and a Malic 3 test. So the objectives of the study were to, one, determine the Malic 3 soil phosphorus, soil test phosphorus requirements of a creeping bentgrass putting green grown on a weakly calcareous sand-based root zone. Additionally, we determined and pretty much verified the critical clipping tissue phosphorus concentrations of creeping bentgrass putting greens. And then we wanted to evaluate Trinexpac ethyl at its effect of either altering the soil, the decline of soil phosphorus levels during the course of the study, or its effect at adjusting the critical values for the creeping bentgrass. So our research methodology, we had to construct a brand new putting green to create a wide range in soil test phosphorus levels, and that occurred in 2008. And then 2009-2010, we sampled, did monthly sampling during the growing season. The green was a two-tiered sand root zone system with sand meeting the size requirements for United USGA spec specifications. The green was constructed with a straight sand and individual plots were 1.6 by 1.5 meters in size for a total of 32 plots. The phosphorus was incorporated into the soil in 10 centimeter increments with monopotassium phosphate at four different rates, 0, 7.5, 15, or 30 milligrams per kilogram. It was a liquid application. The plots were watered, tilled, and then compacted. This was repeated three times to achieve a final root zone depth of 30 centimeters. The green was seeded in beginning of June 2008 with Penn A4, and it went through a traditional grow-in schedule for management. And we had to apply booster monopotassium phosphate applications in July 2008, August 2008, and then again in March in 2001. This is because we had rapid immobilization of phosphorus in this root zone, mainly because at first we had very, very high soil pHs, pHs of 8.8, suggesting that there was a bit of calcium carbonate and even sodium in the root zone, which slowly leached out of this putting green during the 3 years of the study. The fertilizers were based, the applications were based on soil testing at that time. We took six cores to a depth of 80 centimeters, which is consistent through all of our soil sampling. And then again, we did the Malic 3 soil extraction with the inductively coupled plasma technology to determine phosphorus requirement. In 2009-2010, we began our study period applying 10 kilograms of urea, of nitrogen as urea every 2 weeks. And the half of the plots were treated with Trinexpec ethyl at 0.1 kilograms per hectare or 1/4 ounce per 1,000 square feet every 200 growing degree days. Both studies started on April 1st of both years. Monthly sampling included soil sampling, visual quality ratings, which encompass everything from color and plant density and phosphorus deficiency symptoms. Clippings were collected. They were cleaned, masked, and then sent off for phosphorus determination. And then we used nonlinear regression for our statistical analysis, both logarithmic and linear plateau regression in SAS. Okay, so our booster applications of phosphorus were successful at creating a range in soil test phosphorus levels. So let me try to set this graph up for you because it's pretty confusing if you just look at it. The x-axis is the initial soil test phosphorus level of the first month, May 2009. And so we had points ranging from 3 milligrams per kilogram up to 55 milligrams per kilogram. The dotted line represents the reference point. So if those values had not changed at all until October 2010, or 18 months later, all the points you would expect to be on that line. But as you can see, the phosphorus levels rapidly declined. This first line here with the black circles is only 1 month after that initial sampling. And the plots that initially had above 55 milligrams per kilogram had already declined by nearly half. And this continued throughout the course of the study, in which case 18 months later in October 2010, the range was between 3 and 12 milligrams per kilogram. So now for the actual calibration results. Visual quality tended to be the best predictor of soil test critical value. We get into these data a little bit more clearly. You'll notice the plots on the bottom of your screen here had 3 to 4 milligrams per kilogram of Malic 3 soil test phosphorus, and they were very thin. They were still alive, but the clipping yields were decreased, and they had very, very pronounced deficiency symptoms. The next two plots that are up a little bit farther had 5 milligrams per kilogram, so a very small increase in soil available phosphorus. And the plants weren't as bad. Then these three plots had 7 milligrams per kilogram, and they had zero sign of deficiency symptoms. Plots that were treated with Trinexpec ethyl had that typical enhancement of turf grass quality that's been typically noted with the application of that product. And then any date or any soil test value above 7 on this particular day exhibited no sign of a phosphorus deficiency. So to graphically represent this, we had to make a regression plots for both plants treated with Trinexpec ethyl, the blue line, or non-treated plants, the red line, for every single month, where the x-axis represents the soil test value and the y-axis represents the visual quality rating. And this is why visual quality is such a great attribute to measure, because you see a very, very stark contrast where you have a rapid linear increase in visual quality with soil test level up until the critical point, at which case you see a plateau where visual quality is no longer affected by increasing soil test phosphorus levels. So we did this for all 12 months, and we saw a range in soil test phosphorus critical points. The red bars, again, treated with Trinexpac ethyl, the blue, not. One thing to note was Trinexpac ethyl had a very minimal effect on certain days on the critical soil test phosphorus level. Even on one day, it actually increased the critical level. This brings another point up, though, however. The picture I showed, the plots that had the deficiency symptoms typically always sustain those symptoms across during the entire 18-month growing season. But we see a fluctuation in the critical soil test values. So in 2010, we started submitting soil standards to the with our monthly sampling, and we found that the soil standards had a standard deviation from day to day of about 2 milligrams per kilogram, whereas the intraday standard deviation between the sampling was less than 0.2 milligrams per kilogram. So what that means is when we make our models within a day, we have a high probability of the soil test values across that range that day of being accurate. However, we can't compare from day to day because there's so much lab variability there that an increase of 1 or 2 milligrams per kilogram just represents laboratory error. We could also use other aspects to calculate critical values. We've looked at clipping yield, and we had to use logarithmic plateau regression for this. The problem with this is it's not as clear of a critical soil test value because it is a continuous regression, and there's more variability in the data, so it's hard to determine exactly when what the critical point should be. And it brings in a value of importance. We don't fertilize turf to maximize yield. So why would we want to be fertilizing for phosphorus to get a maximum yield when in most cases in a golf course putting green, we like to minimize yield? Tissue phosphorus can also be looked at too with the same problems as clipping phosphorus. Additionally, we looked at visual quality as related to tissue phosphorus concentration. And we found that the tissue phosphorus concentration also affected quality in the same way as soil test level. Again, doing the same regression for every single month. And we noticed that the critical points actually generally increased from month to month following the increase with growth. And during the midsummer, when we had highest growth, we had the highest nitrogen requirements. So conclusions, available soil, P declines rapidly, and Trinexpac ethyl, it reduced growth rate and therefore reduced phosphorus removal from the system, it didn't increase the available soil test supply. Visual quality was the clearest predictor for both soil test phosphorus and tissue phosphorus requirements. And the Malik 3 critical values are pretty low, lower than what may be accepted or thought in the industry, but also within in line with the other soil test calibration studies between 6 and 11 milligrams per kilogram. And the tissue critical levels are within values represented by in the current text. Just for an aside, these two plots show a deficiency plot versus the a sufficient plot, and we supplied fertilizer that day on the 8th, and 3 weeks later, the plot that was deficient actually was greener. And this shows that we had an accumulation of soil nitrogen over that 18-month period because the plant was inhibited by phosphorus deficiency. We reapplied the phosphorus, the available soil was, and nitrogen was there, and then the plant, those plots were actually greener than the other plots. So it was pretty interesting to show that effect. So I'm probably running short on time, but if I do have time for questions.
We have time for one question.
Yes.
So if you were going to translate that into a recommendation, how much of a range do you feel comfortable with? Considering the lab variation in sampling.
Yeah, and the variation with soil. So the question was, the critical levels are low. what's a comfortable range to ensure that you're not, because if it's specific to one green, how can we ensure that it works for all putting, cream bent grass putting greens? I would think somewhere around 15 would be a good level, based on the lab variability that we've seen and the day-to-day variability that can occur. But it was pretty stark, pretty consistent. Another thing, too, is altering the nitrogen rates are going to probably alter the critical soil test values. You're going to increase growth rate, therefore increasing demand for nutrients. So as you increase nitrogen rate, you likely would also have an increase in soil test critical level. So but I would think 15 to 20 would be very sufficient for a Malic 3, and then way above that is unnecessary.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.